their interest in the Word of God and their desire to share it, and their work to prepare and then make their presentation. Praise God. All right, we've been looking at fruit for the first 2 months of the year, and different aspects of fruit with the root and then harvest. I started out with harvest. We'll have to go back to that when we come to the end of our series here. But as you can imagine, fruit of the Spirit is a very primary part of what we want to look at. And so we'll start with the list in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, and note that the nine fruit of the Spirit are what we can manifest because of the power of the Spirit that is within us. Now, you've heard many, many messages, lessons. You've read books and heard series, no doubt, about these fruit. But thank God there's the power that God wants to reveal through the manifestation of fruit of His Spirit in the hearts and lives of people who are serving Him. Amen. And the first one, of course, is love. Let's read together Galatians 5, 22, also 23, which makes up the list of nine fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5, 22. Let's read it together. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Amen. They're not going to get you in trouble. It's not something that is an offense by anybody's law or anybody's regulation or government. Thank God for the positive things that the Lord continually brings in His kingdom. Praise the Lord. And if you're going to establish a new work like the Bartletts are, they're going to see positive things come into the hearts and lives of people who adhere to the message of truth. Amen. And for us, when we have special services, it's not only for us, the renewal that we can have in the Spirit of God, but it's certainly for those who need to know it for the first time and be brought into that experience again of how positive it is to serve the Lord. And thank God for it. Now, all of the positives of this list, love, joy, peace, long-suffering or patience, gentleness or kindness, goodness, faith, which is faithfulness, meekness or gentleness, temperance, which is self-control, all of those things being very positive. And the first one, love, is what we're looking at, as I said. And when you stop and think about how great an attribute of love that God possesses, it's just amazing. Think of the songs that you know of where the love of God is emphasized. And the old songs, "O Love of God, So Rich and Pure," and so on, "How Marvelous and Strong," just a beautiful, beautiful song about the love of God. And then I was thinking about amazing love. How can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amen. My aunt, who had a tremendous conversion experience, lost it for a time, but then came back and recommitted her life to the Lord. A song that was by far a favorite of hers, "Love Lifted Me." Amen. When nothing else could help, "Love Lifted Me." Thank God for that. Now, I'm sure if I were to open up an opportunity for you to comment, there would be an amazing variety of songs that contain the aspect of the love of God. Now, the problem that sometimes exists today as far as the gospel is concerned, that that's the only attribute that people want to emphasize. God is love. And the scripture says that. God is love. Very emphatically. But it's spoken as if God's going to ignore all iniquity and sin and transgression. Even though you had a repentant experience, God's going to ignore it. Don't worry. It's going to be all right. And we're all going to end up in the same place. All the roads lead to the same place and so on along those lines. But love, by its definition, is not defined that way. Amen. And you who are parents, and even if your kids are gone from home and they've established a home of their own and have blessed you with grandchildren, you're still their parent. You're still aware of the needs and you pray and you hold on to God on their behalf and so on, that love. But if there was a inclination for wrongdoing or a direction that was wrong, you would be very quick to step in and try to say, we need to talk about that. And be able to tell them, let's pray about that choice, or however you would phrase it. Or if they're small, like Lillian, and just learning to crawl and walk and so on, and like at our house, there's rubber bands on the little kitchen cabinet knobs, you know, or poles and so on. And we had to get real clever and put little clips on the inside that the kids didn't know how to undo, and because we didn't want them getting into the detergents and so on under the kitchen sink, because we had to deny them because we're mean, because we it's because of love. Very simple. Because of love. And the Lord establishes boundaries in the same way because of love. Amen. Now, the scripture says, and there are negatives, of course, that we want to avoid. Thank God for all of the positives. But the scripture goes on in Galatians 5 to say, they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its negative influences. And then the list of the works of the flesh in verses 19 through 21, just prior to the comparative list of the fruit of the Spirit, get rid of those works of the flesh. Crucify that flesh and walk in the Spirit instead of the affections and lusts of the flesh. And that's the struggle. That's where we have difficulty. In fact, how often do we manifest the opposite of the fruit of the Spirit in our behaviors? Unfortunately, that's how it shows up. I don't have love, I'm unloving. I don't have joy, I'm defeated. I'm discouraged, I'm depressed. And joy is far from us. There's no peace. We're uptight. We're pressured. We're rushed. We've got many, many responsibilities we're trying to fulfill. We're not patient. We're frustrated, irritated. If I miss a stoplight, it's that idiot's fault. And I've got to wait another minute or whatever it is. There's no kindness. It's every man for himself. And, oh, man, when there's a sale on and items that you you want to get a hold of, you really find out the lack of kindness. No goodness, nothing good about ourselves. In fact, Paul said it that way, didn't he? Within me abides no good thing. There's nothing there. We struggle with faithfulness. We neglect our commitments. We don't follow through on our word. No gentleness. Anger and resentment are right under the surface. And, oh boy, here they come, just with the slightest provocation. No self-control. Lives falling apart because of the temptations that the devil is so quick and so fast with being able to hit you right between the eyes or right in your heart with a way for you to fall. Not just falling apart, but fall. And that's the difficulty. That's the problem. But the Bible gives us some very practical instruction as to how to add the fruit of the Spirit and subtract the problems. Amen. You know how to deal with procrastination? You just put it off. And the Scripture uses that phrase, put it off. Put on and put off. Amen. But yet, even that we struggle with. Someday, one of these days, you know, I'm going to change. I'm going to exercise more. I'm going to eat less or eat properly. I'm going to deal with health issues. Going to the dentist is not a favorite thing to do in spite of all of the little enticements they have there. You know, the stickers for the little kids and the free lip gloss for the adults and and so on. But we finally decide I'm going to go and get that checkup. Like the fella who was told by the doctor when they were looking at the x-rays that he had a problem that he had to have surgery with. And he was a little discouraged. And he said, can't you touch up the pictures? Won't make it go away. We're going to spend more time with our family. We're going to set priorities to not work as much and make sure I'm spending time with the kids, with the spouse, and so on. All of these stuff that we put it off. And sometimes, a lot of times, our relationship with the Lord falls in that category. I'm going to get serious. I'm really going to serve Him. I'm going to keep my commitments. I'm going to become more involved. I'm going to serve. and the devil has a way of eroding those commitments. But we put off the old man and put on the new man. Look at Philippians 2 and 12. Cultivating a spiritual life requires a workout. And Philippians 2 and 12 is advocating that. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Wow, that's quite a statement. Much more in my absence. You've listened to what I said. You follow through on it. That must have made Paul smile. Work out. Everybody say work out. Your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, that doesn't mean, of course, devise your own plan, come up with your own salvation. No, it means apply what you know to be in the Word of God and make sure that you're taking that responsibility to make it yours. Work out your own salvation. Change your life by cultivating your spirituality. Amen. Now note the real close difference here. It's not work for your salvation. It's work out your salvation. That's a real important key, because there are a lot of people that go from, you know, the love of God aspect, where anything, however you want to live, whatever you want to do, whatever you want to believe, there are people that swing the pendulum clear to the other side and make it very legalistic. but we work out our own salvation. Amen. Thank God that the Lord gives us tools for cultivating our spiritual life. Just like you go into the garden, you've got your little tools, you've got your items that you that help you to get your garden productive and so on. The Lord gives us tools. Thank the Lord for His Word. These young men shared from the Word today. They didn't read from some philosophy or some idea that might be caught up in man's religion, but the Word. Amen. An anthropologist was going through the South Pacific, and he was in an island that had cannibals. And he came across a man by his fire, sitting there reading the Bible. He's very surprised at that. And he inquired, "What are you reading?" And the man held up his book, "I'm reading the Bible." And the anthropologist, in his education and his knowledge, his intellect, he began mocking the Word of God. "Don't you know those are tales? They're fables. That Bible is not true. It's old-fashioned. It's outdated." The cannibal sat there and held his Bible and listened to him for a bit. And then he said, "If it wasn't for this Bible, you would be in that pot right now." I don't know if that ever happened. It makes a good point anyway, doesn't it? The Word of God. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Praise the Lord. Thank God that there's a mechanism that God has at work there. I don't know how He does it, but the stories that we've heard over and over again can all of a sudden come into your experience when you are in desperate need. And that story that you'd heard many, many times, all of a sudden just connects with you. And you realize, I can beat that giant. The Lord will fight that battle for me. Praise God. And you recognize, all right, this is going to work. Praise God. So we work out, we exercise that faith by reading and memorizing the Word of God. Thank the Lord for His Word. It may seem old-fashioned to a lot of people, but it's powerful. It's alive. Amen. Praise God. I was sharing a Bible study at the college I went to in Sitka. I got invited to share Bible studies there. It was really, really a unique experience. And professors were in the Bible study. So I'm getting ready to share. You know, they've done their little singing, strumming the guitar, and so on. And so here's Mitch now to share the Word. And I said, "Now, I'm a bit old-fashioned. I like the King James Version." And one of the professors said, "That's not old-fashioned. That's classic." Oh. I thought, okay. I can go with that. I like the classic. Praise God. Because the Spirit empowers that. So the Word of God is empowered by the Spirit. The Spirit does a marvelous work within our lives, and we can live in the Spirit and walk in the Spirit. It's all about the Spirit of God. And the Spirit imparts resurrection power. Romans 8:11. Lots of times I'll categorize Romans 8:11, or I'll attach Romans 8:11 with the rapture. "Now, if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that quickened Christ shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you." And I was thinking, whoo, that's rapture power. That's getting us out of here. But it's more than that, isn't it? It's right now. Amen. That the catching away is very much a part of what the Lord's going to do, but He imparts resurrection power now. Amen. So that whatever circumstances I face, and you go to the end of chapter 8, and you look at that long list of circumstances that Paul is including there, and he's saying, I'm persuaded Nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. And all of those circumstances, praise God, thank the Lord that it's not going to separate us. Now, sometimes, however, discomfort from those circumstances. Discomfort is the first step to bring about a change that God has in mind for you. Amen. It's uncomfortable. You know, Elijah was kicking back by the brook, waiting for the flap of the wings. Here comes his meal. And the ravens were feeding him, and he had the water at the brook, even though it was a drought, no rain. Because of his prayer, no rain. But there came the time that the brook dried up and the ravens didn't show up. And the Lord said, go. There's a widow who's going to sustain you. And so Elijah is thinking, the wings of ravens to a widow's resources. What next? But the Lord provided. And it was maybe uncomfortable at first to recognize that he had to make a change in location. But the Lord continued to provide. Choice brings change. The right choices bring positive change. Right. Amen. You're not what you think you are, somebody said. But what you think you are. A lot determines what's going on up there. A lot of where you go and how you interact and how you work out your own salvation, how you add the fruit of the Spirit to your life occurs in your mind. That's why Romans 12 and 2, Paul making reference to being a living sacrifice, and he sets the criteria, holy, acceptable unto God. It's your reasonable service. Then he goes on, and it's not a new topic. It's really attached very strongly. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. And then he sets the entryway, the threshold, by the renewing of your mind. Praise God. And the Lord does that. By his power, by his Spirit, he makes reference to that so that we can know and understand. When I hear the word of God, faith is going to be engendered. When I need to walk in the Spirit and live in the Spirit and crucify the flesh, I'm going to be able to do that because of the power of the Lord and the way that he's changed my mind. Psalm 1, 2, and 3 makes reference to meditate. Meditate. Now, when I've had opportunity to meditate, my mind's not blank. I know people that sit with their legs crossed and their fingers pressed together and they're making a humming sound. They're trying to empty their minds. When I meditate, my mind's full of the things of God. I'm thinking about what God is doing and what his word says. Amen. We meditate on the word day and night. We're like a tree planted by a river, and it's fruitful. Tree is fruitful. Everybody say fruitful. And the leaves are not withering. Amen. That cow moose that's been hanging around out here, she's chewing her cud. And the other time, I saw her. Boy, her jaws were going. She's not meditating, but she's getting nutrition from laying there, chewing her cud. When we meditate on the Word of God, that's kind of like thought digestion. We're rehearsing in our mind the Word of God. We're recalling something that the Lord helped us make sense out of. Amen. And the blessings of the Lord that come upon us. Philippians 4 and 8 has that list of things to think on. And the list includes what's true, what's honorable, what's right, what's pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, and worthy of praise. That's a pretty good list. You're not going to find those things in the newspaper, are you? When you check the news online, there's not going to be much of those things. All negative. Lord, help us. So your positiveness with the fruit of the Spirit and love being manifest makes a huge impact. That word impact. I read somebody's statement about you can make an impact if you survive the collision. And I thought, you know, that's right. The only way to make an impact is to hit something. And we do want to make an impact. This world needs your witness. It needs truth from the Word of God. And so these things that are true and honorable, right, pure and lovely and so on, are the things that we're going to focus on and not the things that are negative and dreary and depressing and so on. Because there's a lot of it. And I remember one of our Bible college professors saying, or maybe I read it in a book, but it's a good thing to find somebody that has those eight qualities to spend the rest of your life with. And not just some old whatever. But somebody who is true, somebody who is honorable, somebody who is right and pure and lovely and admirable and excellent and worthy of praise. Praise God. And make that young woman or young man, whatever the case may be, the one that you're going to live with the rest of your life. Praise God. And I believe God would honor that. And you have that desire. Colossians 3:16. Let's see here. Colossians 3:16, this is one of those let. What do you think it says let? Let the word dwell in you richly. Why is there almost a permission thing here? What do you think? Let the word of Christ dwell in you. Sister Megan? It's a choice. It's a choice. I am going to let the word of Christ dwelling in me richly. Brother Mike? Okay, there's a root, and roots take time to grow, just like fruit takes time to grow. So you're investing the time element. It's not something you're just a flash in the pan or just a fleeting thought and oh, that's cool, and then go right on to whatever else that's going to eclipse the whole idea that you've gotten from the Lord. No, it's going to take time. Amen, Sister Bartlett. Okay, and the word of the Lord, definitely what we find wisdom, and the Lord with his wisdom imparting that to us because of the benefit that's there. One of the young men mentioned the queen coming, Sheba, and she's amazed at what the kingdom of Solomon is like and confessed the half was not even told me. That's what happens when we get into the word of the Lord. When we let the word of Christ dwell in us richly. And that aspect of dwelling is something that it lives in us richly. Gives us the idea that it's abundance. There's an increase. It's not just a smidgen, not just a small amount, but there's an emphasis there. Praise God. So those powerful tools and the blessings that the Lord brings into our lives and provides in a special way. Now, since we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit, we choose to depend on the Spirit. I need you, Lord. And not just I need your blessing, I need the finances, I need the healing, and so on. I need you, Lord. Amen. The power of your Spirit. Now, John 15 and 5, I'm sure there are many instances that we find out to be very true. The statement, short statement that the Lord made, without me, you can do nothing. If you're like me, you found that to be true many, many times. And you got to come back again to, oh, God, I need your power. I need your help. I need your strength. So, without me, you can do nothing. That's the reason we need his Spirit at all times. And especially if we're going to bear the fruit of the Spirit. Because that's an inside job. The fruit of the Spirit is on the inside. And that's how you will bear the fruit of the Spirit, is by having the Spirit on the inside. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. No matter what circumstances, no matter what pressure, no matter what situations you find yourself in that are trying to detract from your spirituality, trying to keep you from working out your own salvation, no matter what you encounter, the Spirit of the Lord will help you to overcome. Praise God, and he is greater. Thank God for that greater power. Spiritual armor. The armor that we know the Lord has provided, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, all of those aspects there. Sometimes we forget that's for battle. Sometimes we just expect the enemy to get running and flee because we show up and we flex and we thump and so on. I found that doesn't work sometimes. Most of the time it doesn't work. Most of the time he's going to come at me. And those fiery darts are going to fly. But I've got to be ready, the shield of faith. Amen. And then get after him with the sword of the Spirit. Sword of the Spirit. Because I'm trying to keep the spiritual fruit that the Lord wants to manifest. And probably in your mind, you went with me from helmet of salvation to feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And you stopped right there, right? How many went on to the next item that is very important in prayer? Prayer. We leave that out of the armor. It's just as important as the sword of the Spirit. All prayer and supplication, perseverance and supplication in the Spirit. That's why it's so important. Ephesians 6 and 18 lets us know praying in the Spirit is absolutely necessary if we're going to be able to win battles that we're faced with. And responding to those circumstances, we've heard it said, circumstances or situations can make you bitter or can make you better. And that's not just a trite little saying. That really is how you respond. How you respond is so important. I can't control the circumstances that come at me. A lot of things I can't control. You know, I've got to be careful. I can't just go whizzing down the street in icy conditions and expect the Lord to protect me. Make good choices. But the circumstances I can't control that create a reaction in me is what I can control. Amen. My attitude. So important to stay positive, because that's the fruit of the Spirit. I remember reading a book by Viktor Frankl. He survived the concentration camps, and he was the only survivor. His wife and family were all lost to him. They even took his wedding ring. And they tried to take his identity, his dignity, and everything. But he wrote, "The last of human freedoms is the ability to choose your attitude in a given set of circumstances." And oh my goodness, the circumstances that he endured for years in that concentration camp would defy imagination. I just cannot imagine how difficult, how harsh, how demanding, how hard that would be. The losses that he must have cried about, the pain that he endured, the questions that must have rampaged through his mind. Why, God? Where are you? And all of that kind of stuff, or all of the stuff that he went through. But the last of human freedoms is the ability to choose your attitude. And again, that sounds pretty cool, but he went through the furnace. He went through the fire. That is really rough. Now, God forbid that we face anything even remotely like that. But it seems to be a strong corollary or axiom or whatever you want to call it, that you will encounter someone who is manifesting the opposite of the fruit that you're trying to produce or trying to manifest in your life. And that's a difficult problem. And we can't choose those situations, and they just come at us, but manifest it. Amen. For the time that God has for you. Okay, I'll finish up this point. Do you know what gas tomatoes are? Gas tomatoes? Anybody know what? This is a trick that is used in the supermarkets. They pick the tomato green because they don't want it bruised. They don't want it looking ugly in shipping to the market. They pick them green, and then they spray them with carbon dioxide. That's the gassing part. And that turns them red. They're still pretty firm. You know, they're not squishy. And they look nice as they're in the produce area. And so you're able to buy tomatoes that are red, but they're not ripe, in the sense that they're, bruised and squishy and so on. Well, that's a trick for a shortcut. God doesn't have a shortcut for you. You're gonna come to maturity by following His steps, by working His plan. Amen. Presence of God in your life, the Word of the Lord in your heart, prayer in the Spirit. And no matter what the circumstances, you're going to trust God. Because, we like to hold on to Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to them who love God, who are the called according to whose purpose? His purpose. So I've got to say, God, help me, help me, help me, Lord. I need to fit into your purpose. I'm not doing too good a job right now, Lord. Help me. And thank God he's there. Okay, one last one here, almost. Philippians 2:13. Philippians 2:13. We talked about work out. Now, it's work in. Philippians 2:13. It is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And obviously, it's his good pleasure that you manifest the fruit of the Spirit. His good pleasure for you to continue to show those positive aspects of his Spirit working in you. And he wants to work mightily. Colossians 1:29. This one is the last one. Colossians 1:29. Paul said, I labor. And remember, he reminded the Corinthians, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Not in vain. Okay, so Colossians 1:29. I labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Praise God. And that, you know, I talk about praying the scripture. This is a scripture you can pray, oh, God, I'm laboring, Lord. I'm striving, Lord. But I need for you to work in me mightily. Let that work be there mightily. And you make that your prayer because you want that, the fruit of the Spirit. You want it to be real. You want people to be able to identify someone who is real. Amen. And thank God his power will do that. All right, let's stand. Let's go ahead and come to the front and we'll pray here for just a few minutes before we have our fellowship. I think we'll be okay here just to pray for a few minutes. No big profound statement to say that this world is getting darker. This world is manifesting less and less of the love of God, even though they use words like tolerance and inclusive and diversity and all of this stuff to make it seem as though we're all going to get along like a great big family. They're far, far from it. And your light needs to shine even more. So when we talk about the fruit and we see the potential of the Word and how we exercise the Word of God, the Spirit of God, and prayer and armor, all of those aspects that are God's design to bring victory in your experience. And we see all of that. It's not just a life or death need for you. It really is a life or death situation for you. It's not just for you, however. It's for others who are watching you, for others who encounter you, for others who know you, and they recognize this was someone who's real. Not perfect, but real. Amen. Don't get confused here with the demand to be perfect. But recognizing, oh God, this world needs you. Oh God, this world needs the real touch of your presence. Amen. And for that reason, I've got to grab a hold of this idea of the fruit of the Spirit living in me. I've got to, not just for myself, but because there's a world dying. a world going to hell. And they desperately need to see something real. Can we pray and ask the Lord to use us and to make the fruit of the Spirit obvious and fulfill his plan and his word in our lives? Let's pray. Jesus.